Good evening. Thank you so much for joining us tonight for our time of ministry in the Word of God and our Bible study. Hallelujah. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we will forever rejoice in it. We will be forever thankful to Him for the gift of life, for His so many graces that He has made available to us. I trust God that you are doing well, you and your loved ones. I trust God that you are enjoying His goodness in this season. Oh my goodness, it's such a privilege to get around the Word of God with the saints. Ooh, glory to God. Is one of the highlight moments of my every week, just getting around the Word in Bible study with the saints of God. So I'm truly excited to have you join us tonight. And I thank you for taking the time to be with us wherever you are joining us from around the world and on whatever platform, or even some of you who might be listening to this on our podcasts, maybe afterwards, at a later time, or some of you that may be viewing this at a later time on one of our media platforms. Thank you. Thank you. God is so good. God is so good. We could never get enough of Him. Hallelujah. And I want us to have an old time style Bible study tonight, later on anyways, after my initial lesson or aspects of the service. At some point later on, before I close out, I'd like us to flip through scriptures together. If you have a regular Bible like mine, or you have, you're studying through a device, your phone, iPad, or whatever else you are using, I like us to just flip through scriptures before we get done tonight. A few things I want us to look at together. But glory to God. Let's share a word of prayer and get going. Father, we thank you so much for tonight. We give you the glory and we give you the praise. Oh, you are such a mighty God. You are such a good Father. Lord, we love you. We bless you. We thank you. We appreciate you for everything that you're doing in our lives. Lord, for everything that you're doing for us. You have been so good, so awesome. My Lord, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for loving us the way you do. Thank you for your mighty presence that is always around our lives. Here we are again tonight around your word. We're so excited. Lord, I thank you for all of my brothers and sisters, everyone that's joining us tonight for this time of Bible study. I pray, Father God, that your hands will be mighty upon their lives wherever they are tonight. God, that you bless them and their loved ones, them and their families. Do an amazing work in all of our lives. Lord, give us understanding hearts. Give us illumination in the spirit. Help us, Lord, lay hold on the truth, divine truths from the Word of God. I give you all the glory and I give you all the praise in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, welcome again. Would you go with me? Let's go back there to Isaiah chapter 55. That's our theme, one of our primary theme scripture that we have used for more than 3 months, 4 months now, I guess. Isaiah 55 from verse 8, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not there, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, so that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. We have been studying for the last several months. I believe we are approaching 5 months actually now, probably around the 5 month mark. The series of lessons that we have titled Renovate Your Mind, Elevate Your Life. Renovate your mind, elevate your life. When our minds become renovated by the Word of God, through the Word of God, and we begin to think the thoughts of God, begin to think like God, our lives become elevated. Our lives go on up to another level. Hallelujah. Glory to God. See where it says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, your ways are not my ways. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my thoughts higher than yours and my ways higher than yours. So when we think like the Lord, when we renovate our minds, like we have been learning this past several months, studying together this past several months, when we renovate our minds to think like God, when we renovate our minds to walk like our Father, then His ways that are higher than our ways, as the heavens are higher than the earth, actually becomes those ways become our lived experience on the earth. They become our reality. Amen. We suddenly were elevated to live a higher life, a higher quality of life. Amen. We become an amazement to our peers and to those who know us. Glory to God. And it will be like living days of heaven on the earth. A life of no limit. A life of no limit. It will be like living days of heaven on the earth. What a glory. What a glory. Well, we have learned so many things from the very beginning. Of course, the New Testament scripture that we have kind of, there's so many of them, but we have streamlined. And we have remained with Romans chapter 12, verse 2, for quite a bit now, since we started discussing the steps to renovating our minds. That has been the other scripture that we've read pretty much every week. Romans chapter 12 from verse 2, it says, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed, be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Amen. So that you may prove that which is the good, the acceptable, and the perfect will of God. The Amplified says, don't be conformed to this world, to this age, fashioned after and adapted to its external superficial customs, but be transformed, changed by the entire renewal of your mind, by its ideals and its new attitude, so that you may prove for yourselves what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God, even the thing which is good and acceptable and perfect in His sight for you. Oh my goodness. Hallelujah. So that you can experience that which is good in the sight of our Father. Amen. Now, we have studied together. The very first step to renovating the mind is we must brainwash our minds with the truth of the Word of God. Every renovation of the mind begins with the revelation of the truth. The Bible says that we should gird up the loins of our minds with the belt of truth. We should surround our minds with truth. The truth establishes our minds. The truth is a defender for our minds. The truth, embracing the truth, the divine truths in the Word of God, will make our minds impervious to the attacks and the deception of the corruption of the enemy, the corruption that is in the world. So when we gird up the loins of our minds, when we surround our minds with truth, when we are lovers of truth, when we are committed to the truth, when the truth of the Word of God is the basis of our everyday life, then supernaturally our minds become renovated. Supernaturally, the truth of the Word of God begins to brainwash. I like the word, that word. So a lot of times it's used negatively, but I'm using it in a positive way for the purpose of our studies, to wash, to wash. Jesus said in John 17:17, sanctify them. He was praying for the church. He was praying for you. He's praying for me. Sanctify them by thy truth. Praying to the Father. Sanctify them by thy truth. Thy word is truth. John 17:17. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. How does he wash us? He washes us. He washes us by the word of God. The word of God. Regeneration of the water of the word of God. And in the Psalm, in the Psalms, the psalmist said in Psalm 51, you desire truth in the inward part. And he says, wash me and cleanse me. And then I'll be whiter than snow. How does he wash us? Through the water, the truth of the word of God. Amen. So the very first step, hallelujah, the very first step, can you repeat that with me tonight? What is the very first step to renovating our minds? Brainwashing our minds with the truth of the word of God. Amen. And say that line with me. Every renovation of the mind begins with the revelation of the truth of the word of God. Well, I believe it was last week we got into our second step. Oh, this is so powerful. This is so important. The second step to renovating, on the process of renovating the mind, is that we must reformat and reprogram our mind with the Word of God. The second step to renovating the mind with the Word of God, the second step on this process of renovating the mind, is you must reformat and reprogram your mind with the Word of God. Feed your mind continually with the word and start actively challenging the junk from the world that you grew up on, that all of us grew up on. Junk from tradition, junk from our beginning years, junk from interactions with people that have influenced us that are not necessarily aligned with the word of God. This second step is so very important. Now, when we embrace the truth, praise God, when the first step, embracing the truth, brainwashing our mind with the truth of the word of God, that's awesome. That truth comes in there and establishes our mind. And that truth comes in there and cleanses us and washes us. But this second step helps us to actually get to the root of a lot of things in our minds, a lot of things that have been hidden in our minds. Like we said last week, there's a lot about our subconscious mind. This has happened to every one of us. Like thoughts come, things come up in our minds, and you wonder, where did that come from? And most times, those thoughts, they may not be pleasant thoughts, they may not be the kind of thoughts we want. We won't even mention to anybody around us. We don't even want them to think such a thought crossed our minds. Or sometimes we speak words and where did that come from? Because in our subconscious mind, a lot of things have been programmed there over the years. A lot of things have been stored there. Some of it even without our knowledge, without us realizing it. And then those things just rear up their head. So it is an active work of going into our minds, like we read, and we're going to go back and read that scripture again tonight, breaking up the fallow ground of our minds. Breaking up those uncultivated patches of our minds. those aspects of our minds have been left to themselves, that have been allowed to just develop in ways that they choose, that our mind chooses subconsciously without our paying attention. Now we've got to go there using the Word of God, and we've got to dig up the root of all of those things and replace them with the Word of God itself, with the reality and the truth of the Word of God. Some of these notes that I'm going to read right now, I read last week as well. Let's read them again. Before we do that, let's read in Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8, that popular scripture. Glory to God. Amen. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8. Mm-hmm. It says, "This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate therein day and night, so that you may observe to do according to all that is written therein, for then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success." Notice that this book of the law will not depart out of your mouth, but you will meditate therein day and night. Meditate therein day and night. Meditate therein day and night. There's something in the world that is described, and I think this happens, though this is used, this concept is used in the social world, social media generally, politics, in the world generally. They talk about flooding the zone. Flooding the zone. That is, they give so much information, put so much information out there, that sometimes you are just even tired. There's so much to grapple with. You're tired. You're just weary from all the information. And at some point, you just go, you know what? It's okay. I think I'm good. I don't even want to entertain any of that. Just leave me be. Let's flood the zone. Well, in this process of renovating our minds, we must be willing to flood the zone of our minds with the Word of God. We must be willing to flood the zone of our minds with the Word of God to such an extent that our minds are just completely resigned to the Word of God, right? Like all of those other distractions, all of those other things that want to come, and our minds are just go, no, I'm okay, I'm good. I'm good with the Word. I have the Word, I'm fine. Leave all those distractions, all of those things from the past, all those things in the subconscious, that's fine. I don't need that. I'm just satisfied with the Word. We need to flood the zone. Listen to this. Just like a child, your mind will grow on whatever you feed it. Garbage in, garbage out, substance in, substance out. Now, the thing about what we feed the mind is what we feed the mind ultimately gets rooted, whether we deliberately do that or not. That's why the Word of God is so powerful in renovating the mind. It's so potent. Amen. In Psalms 1, there's the other scripture like Joshua chapter 1 verse 8. In Psalms 1, sitting in the seat of the scornful, walking in the way of the sinner, all of that that is described in the first Psalm, all of that is a product of what is the predominant influence in the life of a person, right? If the Word of God becomes the predominant influence in our lives, and we just day and night, flood the zone of our minds with the Word, right? You are going to walk. Make sure there's something that carries the Word, not just religious Word, but Word, Holy Spirit inspired Word, either in music or in actual the spoken Word itself, or in other ways. Make sure you are flooding the zone, right? You're sometimes cooking in your kitchen. Sometimes just flood the zone. Put in, surround yourself with the word. Amen. Certainly, you are doing things with your family. Sometimes just call everybody together. Flood the zone of your mind and their minds, the minds of the other members of your family, with the word of God. Amen. You are even doing like things that are fun, like you're on a treadmill, or you're on the jogging or walking trail or whatever. Flood the zone of your mind with the word day and night. Day and night. Do it so much that the root of the word of God takes hold in your mind. And when that happens, as that happens, you find out that word begins to uproot the other things that were there that had taken hold. Amen. Let's read some of these notes and then go and read in Mark chapter 4, the parable of the sower, where we were last week. This is the first psalm. Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law does he meditate day and night. His delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law does he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper. Notice that his delight is in the law of the Lord his God, and in that law, the word of God, does he meditate day and night. He meditates in the word of God day and night. Floods the zone. When we do that, our minds become enveloped with the word. The word begins to take root more and more in our minds and begins to affect even our subconscious mind. So that things that have been piled up there, things that have been programmed there, like I said earlier at the beginning of this Bible study tonight, sometimes we find ourselves reacting to certain things almost like we're triggered. It's almost like certain things trigger us. And in all fairness, it may have nothing to do with what someone who is well-meaning around us is doing or saying, but because it takes us all the way back to something or some things that have happened in our lives that left a distaste in our mouth, so to speak, we are almost sent back there, and those negative feelings all come rushing back. And the thoughts, these feelings come with thoughts, remember. These feelings come with thoughts. Those thoughts just take over. And the next thing we know, we are reacting, we are responding, we are saying things, we're doing things based on not necessarily what is right in front of us right this moment, but based on things that are in our subconscious mind. Amen. But when we, as we go on in this renovation, mind renovation process, and we flood the zone of our minds, you find out that even those things, our subconscious mind begins to respond to the word of God. And things are flushed out and things are sown in. New things are sown in. Glory to God. Let's read a few more of these notes. It says, garbage in, just like a child, your mind will grow on whatever you feed it. Garbage in, garbage out, substance in, substance out. Like a sponge, when soaked in anything and squeezed, your mind will produce whatever it has been soaked in. So soak your mind in God's word. So when it is squeezed, that is what oozes out of it. Like a computer, there are several kinds of information that are programmed and stored in your subconscious mind that you are not even aware of. And from time to time, these various batches of programmed information rise up and move us to say and do things that surprise us. It is up to you and it is up to me to take control of our minds and condition them positively and spiritually by reprogramming them and reformatting them with the Word of God so that they can deliver to our lives everything we desire and everything God designed for us. We read last week in Jeremiah. Let's go back and read that. We didn't read the one in Hosea. I'm going to read that tonight. Jeremiah chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. Break up the fallow ground of your mind. This is what the Lord said to them. He said to the children of Israel, break up your fallow grounds. Circumcise your heart. You see, earlier on in our series of studies, we talked about how many times the mind and the heart are used interchangeably. These are connected. Both our minds and our hearts are interconnected, but they are distinct features of our lives, right? But sometimes what applies to the heart applies to the mind. And certainly a number of these scriptures that we're reading in some of our studies here, a lot of the scriptures where the Bible refers to the heart actually also refer to the mind. That's important because whatever is going on, whatever we make room for in our heart, will ultimately show itself up in our minds. Whatever is going on in our heart will ultimately express itself in our minds and become thoughts and become actions. Our minds and our hearts are interconnected, although they are distinct many times. But you find the Bible actually uses them many times interchangeably, and rightfully so. Let's read Jeremiah chapter 4 and verse 3. It says, for thus says the Lord to the men of Judah, men and women of Judah and Jerusalem, break up your fallow ground and sow not among thorns. Circumcise yourselves to the Lord and take away the foreskins of your heart. Look at that. Take away the foreskins of your heart. Break up the fallow ground and then take away. Don't sow among thorns. Let's get rid of those thorns. All of these are dealing very strongly with the mind. With the heart, of course, but strongly with the mind as well. Let's get rid of the thorns that have been rooted in our hearts and our minds over the years. Let's break up the fallow grounds of our minds. How? With the word of God, by feeding that mind constantly with the word, using the tools that the Holy Spirit gives us to break up those fallow grounds. We'll talk about those tools at some point. But the word of God is the most potent one. The word of God is the seed, but the word of God is also the tool that helps us break up the fallow ground of our minds and our hearts. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When you have a ground, you use the analogy of aeration, aerating the soil, like you have a lawn. You want that lawn, it's not doing well. Some weeds have taken over certain sections of that lawn. Some other parts are just so patched, they are just so dry, they just so look so unhealthy. And you are trying to bring it all back to life. Well, one of the things that people do in lawn maintenance to bring that soil, to bring that lawn back to life, to break up, it's called aeration. And in agriculture, in crop science, sometimes plowing and harrowing, these are things that loosen the particles of the soil, allow better airflow, allow water to be evenly distributed, and allow seeds, when they are sown, to be properly rooted, so that If a seed is sown and is properly rooted, it's easy for that seed to grow and to be healthy. But when the soil has not been worked, when the soil is parched and hardened and stony and fallow, then you can put the best seeds, the most genetically developed seeds that have the potential to do even things that nobody has ever seen before. But those seeds will die in that soil. That soil will not produce anything. Why? Because of the futility of that mind. We will talk about that in just a minute. The mind has the potential to receive the seed of the word of God, but there's so many thorns, it's stony, it's hardened, so much work has to be done on that mind. Well, that's what happens in this step of renovating our minds, flooding the zone of our minds with the word. Just taking that word in, just taking it in. You reach a saturation point, just keep taking it in. And of course, at certain areas, certain times of our lives, we need to do this more. We always need to do this. But there are times when we're just laying a foundation, times when we're just really going through this renovation process and working hard on training our minds to think like God, where we have to do more of this. Amen. We have to do more and more and more of this. We have to reprogram. Look at that. He says, break up your fallow ground and sow not among thorns. Circumcise yourselves to the Lord and take away the foreskins of your heart or your mind. You men of Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem, lest my fury come forth like fire and burn that none can quench it because of the evil of your doings. Amen. He says the same thing, pretty much the same thing, in Hosea, the book of Hosea chapter 10 and verse 12. Hosea chapter 10 and verse 12. Let's read that together. Come on now. Hosea chapter 10 verse 12. Sow to yourselves, and I think I probably want to read that in the New Living Translation actually, but let's read it first in the King James and in the Amplified. Sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow grounds, for it is time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness upon you. When we break up our fallow grounds, the Lord sows and we sow the seeds of the word of God and the rain of righteousness come, then there will be a harvest. Right? If our grounds are fallow, the heart is hardened, the mind is hardened, is stony, it's not where it's supposed to be, it's not healthy, it's not renovated. God, there's no amount of rain that is poured on that ground that will help produce anything. There's no amount of seed that is sown in that soil that will produce anything. Amen. Sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness upon you. The Amplified says, sow for yourselves according to righteousness, uprightness, and right standing with God. Reap according to mercy and loving kindness. Break up your uncultivated ground, for it is time to seek the Lord, to inquire for him, to require his favor, until he comes and teaches us, or teaches you righteousness, and rains his righteous gift of salvation upon you. Let's read this. In the New Living Translation, I really like that. Let's see if I can find that. Hosea chapter 10 and verse 12. And let's do that in the New Living Translation because I really like that. Look at what it says right here. Oh, glory to God. He says this, I said, plant the good seeds of righteousness and you will harvest a crop of love. Plow up the hard ground of your hearts or your minds. For now is the time to seek the Lord that he may come and shower righteousness upon you. Oh, I love that. I said, plant the good seeds of righteousness, and you will harvest a crop of love. Plow up the hard ground of your heart. Which is when we get there later on in our studies, one of the ways we work the heart, to cultivate the heart and the mind interconnected, to work the heart to increase the productivity of the Word of God in our heart. One of the tools that the Holy Spirit helps us use is the tool of love. Love has a way of supernaturally breaking up the clogged up pipes, the clogged up, the jammed up tubes, the help me, Holy Spirit. The entangled particles of the soil that stops the seed from bringing forth roots and having a healthy growth. One of the things that, one of the tools is love. We're not talking about that tonight. But I just want you to know the Word of God works in an environment that opens up our mind when we engage certain tools. One of those tools is love. When there is love in the heart, love in the mind, and the seed of the Word of God is sown in that mind, you find how so much easier the process of absorbing that word, the process of renovating that mind, is so much easier in that environment of love. I love that scripture, Hosea chapter 10 verse 12. Look at it in the New Living Translation. I said, plant the good seeds of righteousness, and you will harvest a crop of my love. Plow up the hard ground of your heart or your mind, for now is the time to seek the Lord, that he may come and shower righteousness upon you. Let's go real quickly here. Glory to God. Let's go real quickly. Let's read a couple of verses right there in Mark chapter 4. The parable of the sower. We read some of this last week as well. Mark chapter 4. Glory, 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 glory. Mark chapter 4 and from verse 2, it says, and he taught many things by parables, and said unto them in his doctrine, hearken, there went out a sower to sow, and it came to pass, as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, the fowls of the air came and devoured it up, some fell on stony ground. Remember now, he's describing the heart and the mind, stony ground, where they had not much earth. And immediately he sprang up because he had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, the pressure, when the sun was up, it was scorched. And because he had no root, it withered away. When the sun was up, it was scorched. And because it had no root, it withered away. So what did he produce? What did that ground produce? Nothing. Nothing. It withered away. It was scorched. It died. The seeds died in the ground. Not because the seeds were not good seed, but because the ground was hardened, was stony. Glory to God. Then he describes, he talks in the next one, he says, and then it says, some fell among thorns. And the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. You know, you plant, when you sow those seeds, like I was, we were using the analogy of the farmer a little while ago. That farmer sows that seed. He's on the lookout for weeds or thorns or any other kind of growth that's taking up space and taking up nutrients in that ground, that will limit the potential of the good seed to produce the kind of healthy harvest that he's believing for, he's looking for, he's expecting. So what does he do? He goes in there, he pulls up all those weeds, pulls up all those thorny things, pulls up all those useless other kind of growths that can be harmful to the seed, takes them out, removes them, so that that seed can celebrate. That seed can settle in that land. There's a word that's coming to my mind. I'm almost using that word like it's an English word, but it's actually in a native tongue. So that seed, that plant can yotomi. Yotomi means yotomi. No, it's not your tummy, it's yotomi. It means, so it can blossom. Yeah, that's the word, blossom. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. So it can blossom. So it can blossom. Yes. So it can blossom. It can yotomi. And when that seed, for that seed to blossom like that, yeah, we have to clear out things, you know, things that are occupying the ground, the same ground that the seed is trying to occupy and to grow in. There's things there that are competing with that seed for the nutrients, for the resources. So what do? We go in there and remove all of those things, thorns and weeds, and so that seed can blossom. So that seed can blossom. We're describing what we do in our minds. This step of renovating our minds is going in there and removing things that clog up things in our subconscious, things that can be a hindrance to the potential of the Word of God to help us renovate our minds. Hallelujah. Notice there, he says, when the sun was up, he was scorched. That's verse 6. When the sun was up, he was scorched because he had no root, he withered away. And he describes that later on as the Lord was explaining this parable. He says, these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground. This is verse 16. Sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word immediately receive it with gladness and have no root in themselves, and so endure for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. This is the way he describes it in the Amplified. And in the same way, the ones sown upon stony ground are those who when they hear the word at once receive and accept and welcome it with joy. And they have no real root in themselves, so they endure for a little while. And when trouble or persecution arises on account of the word, they immediately are offended, become displeased, indignant, resentful, and stumble and fall away. So that means they did receive the word, but the word produced nothing because of the condition of the mind. Well, we've got to work that mind. We've got to flood the zone of that mind with the word of God and walk it and walk it and walk it until there is a greater ease for the word to produce. That's when we say that mind is renovated. And it's never completely renovated because there's always a measure of stoniness. There's always a measure of hardness. There's always a measure of a fallow, parched ground that still needs to be opened up all the time in our minds. We've already talked about this. Amen. When you grow in confidence in the Word of God, but it doesn't mean sometimes doubt. There's doubt is always around and is always looking for a way to come up. Fear, anxiety, even though our minds are renovated, even though God has not given to us a spirit of fear, but the spirit of love, power, and a sound mind. Now we're taking the sound mind of Christ and there's always that part. A lot of it is in our subconscious, really. Where sometimes there's always fear and there's always pride and there's always anxiety and worry and confusion sometimes and pressure to do things, make things happen by ourselves, to not trust God, but to try to force the hand of God or force situations to do things the way we want. There's always that tendency. But the more we renovate our minds, flooding the zone of our minds with the word of God, breaking up our fallow grounds, hallelujah, removing all those weeds and those thorns and taking them and getting rid of them. And every time we see them, we recognize them. We say, no, out. Get rid of that weed. Get rid of that thorn. Hallelujah. Get rid of that thorn. All right. My time is almost up here. Oh my goodness. 45 minutes we've done already tonight. Listen, let's spend some time. Let's spend a little bit of our time. Just look at it here in Mark chapter 4. We're hearing the Lord Jesus Christ talk about this stony mind or stony heart, right? Hardened. We read about breaking up your fallow ground. There are certain ways in which the word of God, the certain descriptions that the word of God gives us for different aspects of our minds, different ways in which our minds express itself, or different conditions of our minds. And these different, a lot of them are negative. If it's not renovated, it's negative, because the opposite of a renovated mind is all of these different conditions of the mind that are not exactly the way they are supposed to be. And the Bible shines a light on different aspects of these conditions of the mind in the New Testament. I want us to look at a few of them. If you have your Bible or your devices, I want us to quickly just, we're going to flip through, look at a few scriptures real quick. And I like to close, at least tonight, we'll come back to this by God's grace next week. But I like to close on, not on those negative, the negative conditions of the mind that the Bible highlights in the New Testament. But I like us to close on the potential, the power of the Word of God to break those negative conditions. That's why it's so important that we flood the zone of our minds with the Word of God, right? Because the Word of God has such potential to break up every clog, break up every hardness, break up every stoniness, and all these other negative conditions of the mind. So let's do that tonight. Let's have a quick old-style type Bible study, read a few scriptures together. Let's look at some of these. I'll just take a few of them because we don't have too much time. And then hopefully we can look at it again next week and maybe identify a couple more. And then close on the power of the word. All right. Amen. What are we talking about tonight? The second step in renovating our minds is the step of reformatting and reprogramming our minds by feeding them constantly, meditating on the word of God, flooding the zone of our minds with the word of God, uprooting negative things that we identify to make room for the word in our minds, addressing even our subconscious, not necessarily like we can always do that directly, but the more we sow the word, the more we flood the zone of our minds with the word, the more we challenge the junk we grew up on, the more we exercise if that's an appropriate word, some of the negative evil influences that have taken hold in our minds, we rid ourselves of them so that we can make room for the word of God, the more renovated, the easier the process of renovating our minds become. Let's look at a couple of this. The Bible talks about blinded minds. Look at that real quick. Flip with me. Second Corinthians chapter 3 verse 14. Minds that are blinded. And sometimes, even though we are being renovated in our minds, certain aspects, there are tendencies for our minds to exhibit blindness in certain areas of our lives. Look at it. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 14. Look at that real quickly. He says, let's read 13 and 14, because this is one of the scriptures where I love this. I really love this one. It's one of the scriptures where the Bible uses it. It connects the mind, the heart. It's referring to the mind, but at the same time, it's referring to the heart, and yet it's showing them as two distinct aspects of our lives, right? Look at this in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. Look at it. It says, and not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished. But, verse 14, but their minds were blinded. So the blinded minds, their minds were blinded. A mind can be blinded. A mind can be stuck in darkness where the word of God is concerned. But their minds were blinded, for until this day remains the same veil on taking away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away with in Christ. Now look at verse 15. So I want to read 13, 14, 15. But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is still upon their heart. Think about this. So in verse 13, he talks about the veil and the blindness of their mind, the veil that is upon their face and the blindness of their mind. In verse 14, it talks about that blindness of their minds because of that veil. In verse 15, it talks about that veil being upon their heart. So he's talking about the mind, he's talking about the heart. They are interconnected, but he's saying exactly the same thing is happening to these aspects, these different aspects of our lives because of the blindness that exists. That's the blinded mind. Blinded mind. Let's look at another one. Reprobate mind. Reprobate mind. Look at Romans chapter 1 verse 28. Romans. Let's flip. Bible study style. Our time is almost done here tonight. Glory to God. Thank you, Father. Romans chapter 1 verse 28. Glory to God. Look at the Romans chapter 1 verse 28. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. What is a reprobate mind? The word reprobate just simply means rejected. Adokimos or something is the original Greek word. It just means rejected. Rejected, a rejected mind. That means a mind that rejects the word of God and a mind that God has rejected. A reprobate mind is a mind that rejects the word of God. When you say, but the word of God says this, a reprobate mind will say, I don't care. I don't care. See, that mind is rejecting the word. And because that mind is rejecting the word, God rejects that mind. It's a reprobate mind. Now, obviously, there are some people that are living like this. There are people that are, this is the description of their lives. And for us believers, that's never us. That should never be us. That could never be us. However, there are certain aspects of our minds that from time to time, depending on what's going on, want to reject the word of God. When the truth of the word of God is presented to us, sometimes our minds want to reject it and argue with it. Reprobate minds. Then there's number three, carnal minds. We've talked about this before, Romans chapter 8 and verse 6. A carnal mind, mind that is focused on the flesh. Let's actually, this one will be very good. Let's read this both in the King James and the Amplified. Lord, look at our time here. Romans chapter 8, verse 6. Glory to God. Look at what it says. Let's read it from verse 5. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the spirit, the things of the spirit. Verse 6, for to be carnally minded, to be carnal, so that's a carnal mind, to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So spiritually minded is the opposite of carnally minded. We've studied some of this before. Then look at verse 7, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, because it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. A carnal mind simply means a mind that is more focused on the flesh, more yielded to the flesh than it is yielded to the Holy Spirit. Let's read a couple of those verses from the Amplified Version. I think I'm going to stop on that third one, just so I can read at least one scripture on the power and the potency of the Word of God. When we come back next week, we'll pick it up from here. And there's a few other descriptions in the New Testament. Look at it. The unbelieving high mind, the deceived, corrupted, and seduced mind. We read all of them in their scriptures, right? Vain, empty mind, earthly mind. Vain, empty mind, earthly mind, alienated mind, feeble mind, shaken, troubled mind, defiled minds, tired, weary, faint mind, double mind. While we're reading those, just so you see, like from Mark chapter 4, you see the condition of that mind. Mark chapter 4 described this stony mind. And the word of God could not produce anything, right? When the sun came out, the seed that was sown in that mind was scorched and it withered away because it had no root. Well, all of these negative expressions of the mind, which certain aspects of that still are within our own experiences as well. We've got to take that word, flood the zone of the mind. We've got to take the word of God, and everywhere we see, everywhere we identify, and every time we see aspects of this unrenovated conditions of the mind show up in our lives, we've got to take the word of God and flush it out like the weeds, like the thorns. Pull it out and say, no, you can't be here. No, you cannot be here. Blind mind. No, no, no. You cannot be blind. Reprobate. You cannot reject the word. No, no, no. It's an ongoing, deliberate reformatting, reprogramming of the mind until our subconscious begins to yield and submit to the mind. Glory to God. Let's quickly read that story. Oh my goodness. Read that verse here and then read at least one verse. Let's read one scripture on the potency of the word of God. Look at it. Now let's read from verse 6. Now the mind of the flesh, which is sense and reason without the Holy Spirit, is death. Death that comprises all the miseries arising from sin, both here and hereafter. But the mind of the Holy Spirit is life and soul peace, both now and forever. That is because the mind of the flesh, with its carnal thoughts and purpose, is hostile to God. For it does not submit itself to God, to God's law, and indeed it cannot, as a carnal mind. Let's just read one scripture here that talks, one of these scriptures that shows the potency of the power. I'd like to close out there on that positive note. The word of God is incorruptible. Say that with me, the word of God is incorruptible. Say it again one more time, the word of God is incorruptible. No matter what the condition of the mind is, the word of God is incorruptible. When the word of God is sown in that mind and it takes hold, things happen, it changes. Isaiah 40 verse 8, quick. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 8. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 8. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God shall stand forever. 1 Peter 1, 22 to 25. Says almost the same thing, but in a slightly more powerful way. 1 Peter 1, 22 to 25. I hope you can make some time to do some of this, use some of this in your personal study and even research some of this for yourself. Oh my goodness. Our time is up. 1 Peter 1, 22. Being born again, not of a corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which lives and abides forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withers and the flower thereof fades away, but the word of the Lord endures forever and ever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached to you. When we sow the seeds of the word of God and we use it deliberately, intentionally to break up the fallow ground of our mind, that seed takes hold, that word takes hold and renovates our mind. Father, we thank you so much for tonight. We give you the glory and we give you the praise. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the mighty work that your word is doing in our lives. I give you all the glory, Lord, for the fruits that are coming out of it. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Oh my goodness, saints, we're so out of time tonight, so we're gone. But thank you for being with us. What a glorious time in the Word of God. Praise God. I look forward to seeing you same time next week. God bless you. Good night.